minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Green Bay Packers fans? Welcome back to another edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast, the first victory edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast for Ross, Jacob, and myself. A lot lighter moods, a lot higher spirits in the room today. I'm your host, Jacob Morley. You can find me on Twitter at Jacob Morley. And we actually are not joined by our good pal, Jacob Westendorf, because him and his lovely wife, Frankie, are off bringing life into this world. So, Ross, we are thrilled that Jacob actually isn't here with us tonight for that reason, because he is welcoming in his first son. And Ross, yeah, and
if anybody would like to question the commitment level of one Jacob Westendorf, we had to talk him out of being here. And I'm not, this isn't a joke, or I'm not trying to like placate him or say nice things about him just for fun because he's not here. We literally had to tell him that he can't record with us.
Yeah, he gave us all these options. He's like, well, I can do it at this time. I can do it at this time. And Ross, being the gentleman and a scholar that he is, I can't say exactly what he said, but it went something like, get the F out of here, Dorf, go have a baby or something like that. And so yeah. He did. He took your advice, and he's not here with us tonight.
He's having a baby.
For awesome reasons. So we're thrilled for him, and we're hoping for the best and waiting to see the good news and the little guy, the newest Packers fan. So excited for him. But also, Ross, we're excited that the Packers got a dub. The Packers just got a dub this weekend. And as we were talking on Packer Report TV, it feels good. It just feels good to get a win. Monday was a ton of fun on Twitter, as I'm sure many of you who partake in those types of activities probably noticed. There was a lot of fun being had at the expense of Bears fans, which is always encouraged on this podcast and just in life in general. So it was a good, good time. But Ross, let's get into the thick of it here a little bit. You know, the dust has settled for this game. The All-22 has also settled for this game. A lot of clips out on the interwebs, a lot of time spent watching that All-22. And let's start. I want to start on the offensive side of the ball, Ross, just because, and this is, I'm guilty of this as well. The offense to me still seemed like it wasn't humming, you know, on all cylinders. And that's wrong. This offense was humming. This offense was looking really good. They had the two really stupid, you know, turnovers, drive killers in the second half. But you look at there was a chart out today. I wish I would have known who made it. It was really neat to see. It basically was talking about every NFL offense and their efficiency through the first 2 weeks. The Packers offense is getting a first down on either first or second down at a higher rate than any other offense in the NFL. And then you include third down, and they're a top five offense in the NFL right now, just off of moving the chains, just based off of getting first down yardage per drive. So the fact of the matter is, Ross, is I'm an idiot. This offense is good.
No argument there.
When you really look at it, and I think, and Ross, can you kind of walk us, like, why is that? Like, why does it look on the surface maybe like this offense isn't looking like we have maybe grown to expect it to look at like, but it's still good?
Well, you get stopped on the 1 yard line by the Vikings. You have AJ Dillon. You have AJ Dillon and Rodgers screw up an exchange. You have You have Josh Myers snap the ball on one instead of snap the ball on two, and the snap ball on one hits Christian Watson in the hip, and like
can you absolve our guy Christian on that play? I think some people still maybe didn't see Rodgers himself saying that.
This is nothing to do with me being an NDSU homer, literally. And it never made sense to me that that would be on the jet receiver. That he's running it like he can't be in control of that unless he's calling the cadence, which isn't what happens. I mean, Myers was supposed to snap the ball on the second hut, if you are, or if you will, and he snapped it on the first one. And guess what? On the first one, Christian Watson was directly behind him. That is a problem.
I wish Christian just would have caught it and housed it. Just do that.
Yeah, exactly. Just freaked out and grabbed it because something bad was going to happen otherwise.
Yeah. Right. But and the other thing too, I think, Ross, that you know, this offense is winning in different ways. And they are, you know, they, even though they didn't run the ball enough against Minnesota, they ran the ball effectively. And I think they got that on tape. And I made a joke about it today too. It's just like, man, I bet Stenovich, you know, the old offensive line coach, Adam Stenovich, who is now their OC, I would just imagine the first couple days of install for this game, he was absolutely pounding the table to run the ball because they ran it so effectively against Minnesota. They all talked about wanting to get Dylan and Jones more involved, and boy, did they ever. I mean, you're probably looking at how this offense is going to operate the majority of the year, and things are going to run through 28 and 33, at least until these young wide receivers maybe get their feet under them a little bit more. But man, if you know, we saw it, Ross, if they can get the ball moving on the ground, things are going to open up for guys like Sammy Watkins, for guys like Randall Cobb, who maybe are a little bit more developed intellectually, I guess is a word you could use. More than these young receivers who are probably still swimming a little bit, just being the young players that they are, which is to be expected. So I think that's probably how this offense just went moving forward. Defensively, Ross, I think after the first drive, Packers Twitter was a scary place. Packers Twitter was – I mean, I wasn't either. But, you know, a lot of it I think is, okay, we just got – the Packers just got absolutely trounced by the Vikings. Could not seemingly get a stop the entire game, although they only gave up two touchdowns. But seemingly could not get a stop the entire game. And here comes Justin Fields, 48 net yard ass, marching down the field, and just I mean it was a it could have very well been a statement drive, like a lot of Bears fans would have led you to believe, like we're the captains now. Type drive. And then, I mean, then they got nothing after that. So after that first drive, though, man, like it was everything's on fire on Twitter. People were upset. People were voicing their displeasure with how upset they were. And to be fair, that was fair. You should have been upset. I'm still upset that they did that, that they've given up two really bad first, you know, opening drive touchdowns. But Ross, what was your overall takeaway from this defense after watching them, I mean, really dominate the Bears, you know, defensively, that they have not, well, where it matters in this league, getting after the quarterback and defending the pass, they dominated the game.
Yeah. I mean, I get all that. Chicago, you know, still at 5.6 yards per play. That's a bad offense with a bad quarterback and a bad offensive line. Like I'm not going to jump up and down and be thrilled about what we just watched. Granted, they were somehow only able to run 41 plays, which seems insane. Why there would be a 25 play discrepancy between the Packers
and
Bears?
Because they're averaging 8 yards a carry and then just stopped running the ball for a quarter and
right.
a half.
They still average 6.7 yards a carry with a bad offensive line. And look, I think David Montgomery is a good player, but I don't think he's prime Adrian Peterson. Like, I don't know. You know, it's fine. Obviously, the 228 total yards, pretty good. The 22 minutes of possession is pretty good. Although that also, you know, goes a lot towards Green Bay's success running the football and keeping the chains moving. Yeah. Mixed feelings because, yeah, I mean, I think I saw 15 pressures on PFF. That's good. Three sacks. That's good. 48 passing yards allowed. That's good. You know, a lot of it's good or a lot. 48 net passing yards. You know, take your fields of 70 yards minus the lost sack yardage. It's fine. But I'm not thrilled. And so if that's what you're asking, no, I'm not thrilled. I been absolutely smoked out of the gates from, you know, talking about the opposing team's first 15 plays against your opening defense. Been absolutely brutalized 2 weeks in a row, and not fitting the run, not tackling, but they covered their ass off. And so I'll be very interested to see how they do against Brady next week, and especially if Brady's down a bunch of weapons, because he gets really fussy when his passing options are not like Hall of Famers.
Well, and that's the thing, that same chart that I was talking about earlier with the Packers offense, the Bucs are bottom three. Like, they have not been good at moving the chains on offense so far this year. They have not played well on offense, you know, and that is with Brady's full arsenal of receivers in the first 2 weeks. They just lost their best one. So it will be interesting. I think the thing that we're going to have to deal with all week is Tom Brady being the boogeyman, and Packers fans, and really fans, I mean, it's not just Packers fans with Tom Brady, just knowing that he's Tom Brady and that sometimes he just figures out a way to beat you. And
oftentimes it's on the back of his skill players and his defense.
Or do his skill players wear striped jerseys?
And those ones too, but I was trying to... Yes.
No, I get what you're saying. So yeah, you're right. Like, it's been bad in Tampa, and we've seen hissy fit Brady multiple times this year, and how sweet would it be to see that once again next week? But back to the defense in this particular game, like, you are right, Ross. They need to clean things up in the run game. That was downright embarrassing at times. But in this league, when you say, "Hey, defense," you get three things: you get to pass cover, you get to rush the passer, you get to stop the run. Pick two. Which two are you picking?
Yeah, I understand.
You're taking pass rush and you're taking coverage. And I just think there's Devondre Campbell's too good. Kenny Clark is too good. I think Quay Walker's going to figure it out. I just think there's too much talent for them to just get run over like that repeatedly. So we'll see. You know, we will see a lot of issues with tackling as well. And I think some of that, Ross, is just the fact that this defense has played eight quarters, some of these guys. And that is a skill that if you don't use it, you lose it, right? Like, I mentioned that on Twitter.
You know, I'm largely done with arguing about everybody about playing in the preseason, not playing in the preseason. But if you go to camp and you watch even the full pads days, like, these guys are not cracking each other. Okay, they're not. It's just a different vibe. Than tackling someone who's truly trying to get away from you, you know? I mean, who's truly stiff-arming you and hitting you with spin moves and juking and all of these things and trying to erase angles and all of that. I mean, it's just – it is different football, period, than preseason. And then the regular season is another step up. But it just is different. Than camp. You cannot, and I think they just do not really tackle in practice the way that you even tackle in preseason. And it has to be a shock to the system when you get in the game and you're actually trying to bring folk to the ground.
Yeah, and I think if you could put some truth serum in Matt LaFleur, he would say he just doesn't care. We'll figure it out.
Sure.
We'll figure it out as sure. The season goes on. Like, you're seeing us figure it out right now. Yes, it's not bad. We take that risk over playing our preferred starters in the preseason. And we just have faith that these guys will figure out as the year goes on. And about midway through the year, down the stretch, if we're tackling well, so be it. And, you know, but we don't have truth serum and we will not know. But one of the big stories going into this week, Ross, was obviously Elgton Jenkins being back out there at right tackle. Coach LaFleur said that if he didn't play in this game, they don't win, which is – that's a thing you can say, especially when you just beat an opponent by three scores.
By 17, yeah.
Yeah, so what was your take on Big E being back in this lineup?
You know, I think he definitely looked a little bit diminished, and I don't know if it's a situation where he's never going to, you know, make it back, but he just didn't. A lot of Eld's, you know, Big E's ability is just staying in front of guys, like with his feet and staying square. And he had to grab and hold and and tug a little bit against, especially since he wasn't playing left tackle and going up against Quinn. Like, he wasn't going up against an elite pass rusher in any way. And I'm not saying that, you know, he's not going to get it figured out. I just mean, like, I didn't think it was his cleanest game. But like Roger said, it's a success. I mean, he's back from rehab. He's playing. We'll see if he plays two games in a row. I would assume that he does, but it's a success.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, you still upgrade at two spots, even with that version of Elton Jenkins out there. He's still their best, well, potentially their best option at right tackle.
And Royce isn't what everybody wants, but he's better than Jake Hansen.
Yeah, and I thought Royce was fine. Royce was fine at right guard. Is he ever going to be an All-Pro? I don't know. Maybe not, probably not, but he like you said, he's certainly better than what they trotted out there last week. And I think last week, looking at what they did, the right side of the offensive line was largely a problem. This week, out of their 38 or 39, whatever it was, run plays, 23 of them were to the right side of the line of scrimmage. Like, they came in there with a plan and said, hey, we really like our right side of the line now with Elton back out there. We're going to ride that. And they did. And I thought everything you just said, Ross, I agree with, especially in pass protection. He did look not the same. And some of that is to be expected because you can't just – I mean, it's tough to just plug and play and be the same guy in the NFL, like especially at a position that he wasn't drafted at, that we're still projecting a little bit because he hasn't played there a ton. I thought he was – he struggled in pass pro, but I thought he looked really good in the run game. I thought he was moving bodies. I thought he looked like the old Elton that we saw in the run game, just grown man type strength, moving people. So that was exciting. That was fun to see. And you know what, Ross? The thing with Elton is, let's say he continues to struggle at right tackle. I think you plug him back into guard. He's an All-Pro type player, and you have a guy named Zach Tom just waiting in the wings, ready to roll at right tackle. And that's still – you could make an argument, Ross, a very good one, I believe, that is still their best five right now, currently, with a healthy Elton, is Zach Tom at right tackle and Elton Jenkins back at one of the guard positions.
Yeah, I mean, if they let me do it and they just said, okay, Dave can't play week three, yeah, I would put Zach Tom in at right tackle and kick Elton into right guard. But that has to do with the fact that I think that Zach Tom is like a all rookie team tackle. Like, and I think Zach Tom is a above average NFL starter and a projected, I think he's a Pro Bowler eventually.
Yeah. He's shown it. He's on that trajectory that we've seen with young offensive linemen in Green Bay before. I mean, the same one that we saw with Bakhtiari when he came in, same one that we saw with Elton Jenkins.
He reminds me a lot of Elton, to be honest with you.
He's like a skinnier Elton is kind of what he reminds me of. Yeah. So that'd be fun. That would be fun. I think, you know, that's a good problem to have. Or, you know, if things, like I said, if things don't work out with Elton at tackle, like we just assume they will. And I still think they will. Like this is very much like, hey, what if Elton did lose a little bit of juice? Cause that can't happen. That can't happen when you blow out a knee. You know, maybe he doesn't have the required athleticism to play tackle anymore. I think he's still an All-Pro guard, and I think Zach Tom is just ready to roll and could potentially be one of those as well. Ross, anything else? Anything else that stuck out to you in the game before we get out of here?
Very little. Very little. You know, thought it was a B-plus performance, and that is almost always good enough to get it done against the Bears at home.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yep, Bears still suck, and the Packers are 1-1, and we are on to Tampa Bay, where we will watch them take on, obviously, Tom Brady and a bunch of guys that you probably don't know their names. So,
Tom Brady and a bunch of guys.
Very well could be a win. I would encourage Packers fans to go into that game with some confidence, just because they kind of should. Tampa's defense is still solid, but I think it'll be a good test. Be a good test all around. You get one stinker, you get the Bears, and now you have a talented Tampa Bay team with an all-pro, all-world MVP, you know, GOAT quarterback. So we'll see what he can do with nobodies. But until then, we'll be back here next Monday, hopefully with good news. Once again, celebrating another victory, moving on to 2-1. But until then, go Pack, go.